like to write the title on the board here. Written on the board, Season's End. I once again am thankful for the hope that the gospel brings to each one of us. Say it different times, and I suppose I'll continue to say it. I'm so glad that the hope of the gospel is extended to every single person, regardless of your background, regardless of your past failures, regardless of your past sins, regardless of your current weaknesses. We serve an amazing God today that reaches us with hope of deliverance. He brings us deliverance from hurt and pain and brings us fulfillment of life through Jesus Christ. And I am glad today that hope was offered to me too. I'd like to read a psalm of David this morning out of the 37th psalm. Desire and interest in your prayers. 37th psalm and the 37th verse. It is a short verse and there's a lot in it. It says, "Mark the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Sometimes on short verses, while you're trying to find it in your Bible, you miss it. So I'm going to read it again. Psalms 37 and 37 says, "Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Well, mark the perfect man is what it says. Mark in this context means to take notice of. It means the writer is saying, give regard to, give consideration to, maybe even follow the example of. Mark. Mark the perfect man. So he says, take notice of, give regard to, give consideration to what? Well, he followed that by saying the perfect and the upright man. Is he talking about perfect where there's no more room for improvement in this life at all? Do you think that's what he's talking about? If that's what he was talking about, I don't know who we would mark. Because I haven't found anybody yet that has no room for improvement at all in their lives anymore. They've arrived. I haven't found that. But I believe that what this is referring to, he's saying, give consideration to the man who has been perfectly equipped by the Spirit of God, who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Mark the man that has given themselves to live a life after the character of God. Mark the man who has applied himself, to have integrity of heart, pure in heart. Mark the man who is just. Simply put, take notice of the one who has given their all to follow Jesus. Why? Why should we mark a man like that? It's because it speaks to their end. It's because it speaks to the end of that person. This says, because, for, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. It's talking about how the story ends when there's no more opportunity for change anymore. When all is done, when the sun sets, when the day's over, when your life's over, when there's no more opportunity to make a course change, the end of this man was an end of peace. And I want to emphasize this morning that every single person here this morning is going to want to have an end of peace. Eventually. If you don't now, you will. And there will come a day, there will come a time when you will want peace with God more than anything else in life. There will be nothing that you would have wanted to exchange it for. There are no pleasures of life. There are no attitudes. There are no spirits that you will have wanted to carry in life in exchange for having peace with God. It's going to mean everything. When you read the end at the end of a book, used to it seemed like people read more hardcover books. Don't read so many hardcover books anymore. But back in the day, and they're still out there if you look for them, you read a book and you're flipping pages, and the pages are all the same size most of the time. They're the same size, the words are printed on there in the same way, but at some point you flip that page, it's just like every other page, and there's two words that says at the bottom, the end. It means that the story's done. It's at the conclusion. There's no more to be said. There's some finality about it. And sometimes in longer books, you'll read a book and you'll be reading along, and all of a sudden you turn a page and there'll be a blank page, except it'll say part two. And then you move into a different part. And then you read that and you might flip a page and then it'll say part three. And then you'll keep reading and then you flip a page and it says the end. Well, this morning I'd like to consider our lives. Did you know that our lives this morning are comprised of seasons, parts, if you will. And the seasons that we live in life, they come and then they go. And then another season comes and then it passes away, and eventually we get to the point where we get to the end. And there aren't any more seasons. And if the Lord grants us the fullness of life, which is a blessing if He does, because He doesn't promise it to us. But if He does, there are different seasons that we go through in life. We go through a season of childhood. And then we go and move into another season of our teenage years, adolescent years. And then we move out of that season and we come into, well, I'll call it young adult, maybe. You're an adult. You're not a teenager anymore. You're a young adult, and maybe there's marriage. Maybe there's children in your home. Maybe there's not marriage and children, but maybe now you're out of the home and you have some different responsibilities of life. And somewhere, and I'll be real careful about how I define this morning, but somewhere you move into another season of life, which is kind of midlife. Maybe I will apply an age. You know, by the time you get in your 40s, you're not a young adult anymore. And this stage of life, there's a lot of discussion on how long it lasts. There's different thought processes on what this age is, this midlife age right here. But you know what? Eventually, whether you want to or not, you're going to move out of this stage, and you're going to move into another season of life if the Lord spares time. And it's going to be, well, whether you like it or not, it's the final stage of life. It's the final season of life. I know that we can't, it's hard to just box it up like this. But I'd like you to also think about this as windows of opportunity too. Different seasons of your life, we have different windows of opportunity, and we may not agree completely what this transition looks exactly where that age is, but you know, in life, there's winter, and then we go into spring and summer and fall, and sometimes we're not exactly, I mean, the calendar says it's spring now, but the weather might not show it. Same with when you move into summer, but eventually it's summertime. Eventually, it's not spring anymore. It's summertime. And you might dicker a little bit about this, but there comes a time when you're not a teenager anymore and you have some serious responsibilities in life. And then there comes a time where you're not a young adult anymore. You've reached midlife. In fact, you might be pushing the end of midlife. And there comes a time, if God spares time, that you're in this stage. And you know what comes after this stage? Death comes. The end comes. And sometimes this comes in all of these windows. It's not given to us. We're not guaranteed this. And then after this, it's not over. After this, there's this thing called infinity, infinite, a sideways eight represents infinity. And eternity stretches out with no end. Where are you this morning? We all probably this morning are looking maybe at these and thinking, well, maybe I fit at a certain place. I finally come to realize this isn't me anymore. As much as I'd like it to be me, I'm not a young adult anymore. I'm not going to claim this, but this is probably where I am. And you're somewhere in here too. And we're not idle, we're moving. Time moves on. We are moving through the seasons of life. Each season starts and somewhere it ends and it's done. And you don't have any more opportunity to be a child anymore. And now you're a teenager. And as you're a teenager, time moves on. And there comes a time somewhere in here, this window of opportunity is gone. And you've moved to here. There's a beginning and there's an end. And I want to say this. How you live each season, folks, has a lot to do with how you start the next. Be careful how you live your seasons, because it influences how you start the next one. And these seasons right here are all made up of situations and behaviors and outcomes. Each phase of life, we face situations that come our way, and then we react to those. We have behaviors that are associated with the situation that we find ourselves in each of these seasons. And based on how we behave, there is an outcome, there's a consequence that happens with this as we move through life. And some of these situations that we encounter, some of them are situations that we have a lot to say about. And there's a lot of situations in life we don't have anything to say about at all. They are given to us. They're dealt to us. And I want to say this. It seems like today there's a lot of focus with a group of people that focus a whole lot on who was responsible for all the problems in their life. everybody but themselves. It was somebody else. It was my parents. It was my job. It was the city that I lived in. And it's true. Parents have a lot to do with the situations their children encounter. It's true that our jobs, where we live, has a whole lot to do with it. But I want to tell you something. We each one, in the end, are going to have a story associated with our lives. And how we respond to the situations that we find ourselves facing, how you respond, the decisions that you make, that is going to define the story of your life a whole lot more than whatever it was that was given to you that you didn't ask for. The story of our lives, how it reads when we get done, when we face God, is going to have a whole lot to do with how we chose to respond to those things that we had to face in life. How's your story reading today? How do you feel about it? Are there any course changes that need to be made? You know, when the windows of opportunity pass, I can't do anything about me personally. I can't do anything about the story of my childhood at this point. It's gone. The season's gone. My teenage years are gone. I can't do anything about that. But I can do something about the season that I'm in today. Every single person here this morning can do something about the season that they're in today. You have everything to say about this. God has given it in your hands. I want to make whatever course changes I need to make while I have opportunity. I want to hold fast to the things that I'm doing right and not let go of them. If God has helped me understand, this is right. This is the way that ye should walk. Children, this morning, children, obey your parents even when you don't understand. Did you know that God wants you to learn how to obey when you don't understand? He wants you to learn how to obey your parents so that you can learn how to obey Him when you don't understand. God set up the family and children to honor and to obey their parents. And the relationship with a man and wife and the relationship with the church and with Christ, God has an overall plan and a meaning and a purpose. He doesn't just do things just as one-offs that aren't related to other things. God has a plan, things that are linked together, and He wants us to learn how to be obedient, even when we don't understand sometimes, so that when God speaks, it's good enough to obey. Teenagers, how's the story of your life going? I liked being a teenager. This was an exciting time of life for me. It was also a time that included some anxiety. You know why? Because I knew this was coming. And you look out and you can sense and you can start to feel the further you go into it that, real life. I mean, yeah, this is real life, but some of the responsibilities of life really start hitting home about here. Teenagers, be careful how you live your life. Start developing some good practices and good habits and solid ways of thinking. And if I could say this, give your parents the benefit of the doubt. In general, I know there's exceptions where there's people that are just, you know, they're off and you know they're way off and they're not godly. But people that are here this morning, for the most part, you live in homes of people that care about you, that want your best, that have your best interests at heart. Give your parents the benefit of the doubt as they try to teach and lead you. They're going through it too for the first time often, just like you're going through teenage years for the first time. Your parents are going through it for the first time, having a teenager in the home, and you're learning together and you're trying. But the parents have seen some things you haven't had. And trust me, when you get out here and you have teenagers, your point of view and your perspective is going to be different. I promise. When you have a teenager now, you're going to look back and you're going to go, oh, now I understand better. And I know we can't be perfect in each stage of our life, but avoid the avoidable mistakes. Do the best you can to show your parents respect. When you're young, ask God to give you some God-given convictions. You know, it's a thing in the world that they want to say, well, I've got my own convictions. It's good to have your own convictions. I don't want to just be like a ship without a sail that goes through the world and have no convictions at all and just get, you know, blown wherever the wind blows. But there's this one side of it where people can strongly say, I've got my convictions. Well, what are they based on? My exhortation to you this morning, teenagers, look, try to get some God-given convictions that are based on truth, that are based on the Word of God, so that when you get into this stage of life, you can order your life, not just because of what everybody else said, but that you took that into consideration and you got down before God for yourself and asked the Lord to help you understand, Lord, how would you have me to live life? That I might live in a way that's pleasing to you and that might help set me up to go into the next season of life. Because if you don't, you're making some of the most important critical decisions of your life here that can influence all of the rest of your life for good or for avoidable difficulty. The scripture says in Isaiah 1 and 17, it says, learn to do well. Learn to do well. Enjoy your youth, teenagers, young people. The scripture says that too. I enjoyed being young. I enjoyed being strong. I enjoyed being able to, you know, jump off the back of a pickup and from 4 or 5 feet up hit the ground and not have my knees hurt and be able to take off and run. Like to be able to jump. I like that. God made us that way. The strength of your youth. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Enjoy it. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy your strength. Enjoy dreaming a little bit. It's okay to dream a little bit. But keep God in it. Don't forget that you're going to move into another season. Folks that are in this season, is God the preeminent one in your life? Those of us that have moved into middle age, have we allowed God to be the preeminent one that is the center of our space, where we make decisions that are based on what would Jesus do? What would God be most pleased with? This is a busy time of life. It follows the young adult time of life. And maybe we could talk about some of these together. There's so much busyness that can occur that it can camouflage the things that are most important. Your faith, your family, your friends. And when you're in this stage of life, you're a young adult and you have young children, it can just seem like the time just never stops, which it doesn't. And there's always things to pay attention to. But all of a sudden you wake up and you don't have young children anymore and you're moving along and that window of opportunity is gone. Take time to slow down enough to understand the most important things in life. I know that we learn and we are instructed. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I know that, and we need to be careful in all things, but be careful that you don't miss the most important things in life. Be careful that you don't let these windows pass you by, this one particularly. When you have your children at home, one of these days you're going to wake up and they're not going to be at home anymore over here. And then you're going to be a young adult and you're going to have your own children, and then they're going to turn into teenagers and they're going to move into this season and you're going to move into this season, and time marches on and that season is past. Never to experience it again. May God help us to look to Him for help and wisdom in those seasons. And as we get into these years up here, have we found the importance in serving others by that time? May God help us to not be living to ourselves. Time is moving on. People are watching our lives. You get in this stage of life and people are looking at you saying, follow that example, or don't follow that example. Look what happened to them. Don't do that. His life didn't turn out good at all. These people already think that you're old. These people down here think that this stage is this stage. And you're being watched. You have an influence on other people that you often don't realize. Let's have self-awareness. Let's have self-awareness, which means that we recognize the influence that we are having on other people. It's not just about me anymore. Let's seek to serve other people and God and make sure that our priorities are right, because time is marching on. Lots of time has passed us by if God has helped get us into this 40 to 60 plus year stage of life. Is anybody here in this stage of life? The Bible says, the days of our years is 70, and by reason of strength, 80. That means 70 years old. Do we have any that are 70 here today? By reason of strength, 80. Folks, if you're in this stage of life, life has largely passed you by. These seasons have gone. You're in the final season of life. And as with all seasons of life, but if I could say it this way, especially in this season of life, should have a high sense of urgency to be making sure that you are at peace with God and man. In every area that the Spirit of God may be pointing to something in your life, get it right. Don't neglect it. Time is uncertain. Time is moving on. The end is coming. Well, these examples represent roughly seasons of life that we face. And within each of these seasons, there's going to be some real special joy, peculiar to the season that you're in, particular to the season that you're in. Joy and happiness and gladness and new experiences, and that's good, and it's what God intended for there to be. And in each season of life, there's going to be some unexpected heartache, and there's going to be some trouble, and there's going to be some failure, personal failure in these seasons of life. That's my testimony. I've had failure, personal failure in each season of life. But the question this morning is, how are we going to respond? How are we responding to the season that we are currently in? How's your story going? Let's respond by lifting up our eyes into the hills which cometh our help. Though we lift up our eyes unto the hills and ask God to give us wisdom and perspective to help us understand how He would have us live our lives in the season that we're in. That we would lift up our eyes for forgiveness, for mercy, and that the Lord would give us the mercy and compassion that we need to have on other people. For we influence other people, and we can help other people by the conduct of our lives. The Lord has a vested interest in all of our lives this morning, and there's a scripture that says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Well, we may not all be living lives that are what would be termed as wicked lives, but may God help us turn away from a life of self and turn to a life of service unto Jesus Christ. It'll make all the difference. This morning I want to encourage everyone that is here that we would examine our lives. Think about where you are, in what season of life that you're in. How's it going? Are there any course adjustments that are needed? How are you setting yourself up for the next season that's coming? Are you okay with it? You have opportunity today to make course changes if you need to make a course change. Let's think about the decisions that we're making and how it's positioning us for the time that the page is turned and it says the end. And we have no more opportunity to make course changes. Let's think about what track are we on? Where is our life heading? We're in the process of writing the story of our lives. Make what matters most matter in your life. And if you have regrets this morning, and we all do, I do, take your regrets to Jesus. Ask Him to help carry you in those times and places where you have failed. And the Lord has offered to be our shepherd, to help lead us into places of green pasture and water where we may in the past have felt in desert places. And the Lord will help bring us into places where by His goodness and mercy, He's willing to lead us home. Well, this morning, I know that I haven't probably said anything that you haven't already thought about before, and that we have a head knowledge of these things in our minds. But I think a lot of times we are inclined not to act and be more deliberate today because we always think there's a tomorrow. The reality is that today is yesterday's tomorrow. And the seasons of our lives are passing, the days are passing one at a time, and eventually these seasons will be gone. These windows of opportunity will be gone. And eventually we're going to turn the page and we're going to face the Lord. Let's be deliberate how we live our lives. The good news of the gospel is that everybody here this morning can have a good end. Isn't that good news? Every single person here today can have a good end to your story. The Lord wants us to end well. We can be men and women of faith, of hope, of love. We can be people that have a heart to serve others and to serve God. This morning, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, because the end of that man is peace. Pray for me today, because I want to be able and willing to make whatever course changes that I need to make in my life, because I want to finish well. Amen.